Hello, and welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist's perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Music for today's episode comes from the CD My Harp, My Heart, recorded by harpist Lisa Tenenbaum. The 43rd National American Harp Society Conference is just around the corner. If you received our 2018 May-June issue of Harp Column, you already have a pretty good idea of all the amazing and exciting opportunities that this conference offers. Taking place at the University of Redlands in historic Redlands, California, between June 27th and 30th, 2018. The conference boasts a huge playlist of harp celebrities and virtually unending opportunities for musical and personal growth. I was bummed when I made the decision that it wasn't financially possible for me to make it out to the conference this year. But after my conversation with today's guest, I am absolutely devastated. Professor Emeritus at the University of Michigan, former faculty member of the School of Music at Arizona State University, founder of the American Harp Center in Petoskey, Michigan, member of the American Harp Society Conference Planning Committee, and guest for Harp Column Podcast's episode 40, Lynn Aspness. She, along with Mary Dropkin and Catherine McManus, represent the three main pillars of the Conference Planning Committee that Lynn will explain later in the episode. So much goes into planning these events, where hundreds of musicians will gather in celebration of our shared love for the harp. To start our conversation, I asked Lynn what is probably the most obvious question, but not the easiest to answer. What is she most looking forward to about the upcoming conference?
You know, I'm excited about all of it because I've been so actively engaged in planning it. And the fact that all of these people who have signed up to do this are doing this for the society and as a service, you know, to the harp. It's just, it amazes me, the generosity of the people who are agreeing to come. I think the thing that I am most excited about for this conference is the number of non-harpist presenters. We have composers, we've got a Q&A with Bruce Broughton, we've got a whole thing about Alan Hovhaness with Bill Alves, who is a Hovhaness scholar. We have a composer named Juan Pablo Contreras, who is showcasing the concerto that he wrote called Angel Mestizo. I love this. I love it that it's not just harpists, it's all of these non-harpists who are presenting. And I'm ecstatic about that. This panel of Latin artists. One of the people on the panel is actually part of the Mexican cultural attaché in Los Angeles. We have the director of development for the Redlands Symphony as part of the grants panel. I mean, I couldn't be happier because there's real diversity outside our discipline, and it's just going to bring a whole new depth of information to people. I couldn't be happier.
Sounds great. I love that it's kind of setting itself apart from past conferences as well in that way.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for us, that was part of, I mean, I don't know how intentional it was other than when we started planning this to think about what it is about California and the harp and music that needs to be known. And that started us down the path of these California composers. And most of them have a connection in some way or other to the film industry back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, of course. And now, absolutely. But there's so many composers who were based in California who wrote for the harp, and the music wasn't in nationally or internationally as well known as maybe it could have been. And that's where we got these guys to sort of come in. And it's like, this is so cool. I'm really excited about it. It's really going to be excellent.
Yeah, that's super cool. I really like that. Yeah, making me jealous. You're making me wish I could go.
Oh,
I really wish I could go.
Come anyway, just come. Yeah,
I wish I could.
And it's all the way across the country. I understand that. But we haven't done anything out west, a conference in a while either. So that's part of the reason for the location. And like I said, everybody who's coming to play has been just stunningly generous with just saying, yes, I'll do that. I mean, Motoshi Kosako is playing, Carol Robbins is playing, Laura Somogyi is playing, Jessica Brizuela just got back from Dubai, and she's going to do this whole Bollywood thing at one of the receptions. It's going to be amazing. You know, and it's just a whole lot of really great players, Julie Smith Phillips and Ellie Choate, Paul Baker. Yeah, anyway, a whole bunch of people.
As a part of the American Harp Society Conference Planning Committee, Lynn plays a role in the choosing of where subsequent conferences will be held. Taking on a task like planning a conference isn't for the weak of spirit, and I was curious how one even begins the process of applying for such a privilege. Lucky for me, Lynn and the rest of the American Harp Society leadership have been thinking about this as well. Remember that three-tiered team I mentioned at the top of the episode? Well, here comes your explanation.
You know, most of the time what we're doing is mentoring people who have an interest, but really, you know, the Harp Society is going to, in the coming year, do a much more complete job of letting people know what it takes. People who are listening to this podcast should know that it's a three-part structure that really presents a conference. It's never one person locally who is tasked with this really Herculean responsibility and job. But it's the executive director of the society who helps with all of the administrative side. It's the conference planner or local professional coordinator at the venue, whether that's a conference center or a hotel or a university. And then it's the local HARP side. And so the admin is over here with the executive director, the local coordination of spaces, schedules, rooms, all of that, we get help from this person on site. And then the visionary planning and the content and the focus of the programming comes from the local side. And then a ton of volunteer help, you know, to deliver the flowers, to stuff the bags, to get the program completed, to make sure we have all the harps we need, to move equipment around. All of that is done locally. But to put it on, if people could think of this triangle and that they would be one third of the total equation, that might help alleviate that feeling of, I'm going to do what? I'm going to put on a whole conference. and we do. There is a committee. They can, anybody who's interested. We just completed the first part of a brochure that we're going to hand out. There is a committee of national advisors to help mentor people who want to put on an event. And also just to talk with people about what the requirements are, what our minimum needs are for space and harps and all of those things in order to move forward with a location. The brochure that we just made up will be up on the website also. And they can start by contacting me. The other two people, if they're interested, Lucy Scandrett, Jan Bishop, and in Chicago, Lillian Lau. So if you just contact one of the four of us and say, hey, I don't know, but this might work.
Have you seen Harp Column on social media? Or click through to a news story on our website? Maybe you've listened to Harp Column podcast or gotten one of our email newsletters. However you interact with Harp Column, we want to make sure that you're getting the very best of what we have to offer, which is the magazine we began publishing 25 years ago. That's right, 2018 marks the 25th anniversary of Harp Column magazine. And Harp Column magazine is still bringing practical news to practical harpists around the world 6 times a year. And now also in digital format. Did you know that Harp Column magazine supports all of our other projects? That's why we could really use your help. Subscribe to Harp Column magazine today so we can continue bringing you all of the harp news and updates you've come to expect from us. Just go to www.harpcolumn.com to sign up today. We know you won't want to miss an issue. The actual conference is probably going to be a little stressful. for the people that are planning it and running it. Is there anything that anybody can do for you during the conference, bring you things, a hug, anything they can say to you that will simply lift your spirits and make you feel a little better and just put a smile on your face on a day that might be a little stressful?
The thing that puts a smile on my face is when somebody comes up and says, "That was an amazing presentation. I learned so much." That's all I care about, is that people who attend find themselves transported by some artistry or information or new skill that they can take home. And so if it happens, if anybody wants to share that with me, that would make me happy.
Chocolate also doesn't hurt, right?
No, chocolate is great. Chocolate is always good.
I've had the privilege of knowing Lynn for over 15 years. First meeting her as a student at the Interlochen Arts Camp, and I've always jumped at the chance to speak with her, or see her if I can. She is genuine, kind, and unreasonably intelligent. She has a way with words that never ceases to thrill and delight me, especially as a creator of something that is almost exclusively made up of words. With that thought in your heart and mind, I leave you with a final thought from Lynn.
In the e-newsletter that I just wrote, I was trying to emphasize the value of live performance.